I spend a lot of time explaining things, and not just explaining things, but trying to come up with terms for conditions, paradigms, the way we think of the world, so that others understand it as well. In fact, I'd say a majority of my time when I'm constructing some sort of explanation is trying to define things for greater understanding. There's a concept that took me a few years to really get my hands around, and that idea is the term that I call the above ground. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Boiled down to its most basic concept, the above ground is my term for how people want the cachet of living outside of the rules without any of the consequences for it. They want thrill-seeking, rule-bending, the ability to step outside of confinement and authority, while still, in many ways, expecting some sort of safety net to get them when things go really, really wrong. Think of it as striking out on your own, going up a mountain, but having a group or a set of people always waiting in case things go wrong. You portray yourself as self-motivated, as supporting yourself, of going beyond and above the rules of the world, but also encapsulating yourself with a support network ready to come at your rescue at any time. And I would venture that the entire experience is different for you, knowing that you have that last moment, last condition, last emergency choice, instead of true and actual oblivion. That's rather haughty, but it comes from thinking about a large amount of things that have happened over the years that I've witnessed, where people play off taking risks or being above and beyond society, but still wanting the options afforded people who follow the rules. Now, this becomes very hard to explain to somebody. It becomes an entire funhouse of metaphor and description. So I'll just focus on two real-world examples that I've observed over the years. One of them is what we call hacking culture, the idea of being a rebel who does risky or odd things that would not be appreciated within a society of laws and control. In fact, that's kind of the style, the idea that you are functioning between the lines, inside the laws, inside the walls, being, in other words, the trickster coyote that nobody quite understands, but who is both amusing and enlightening when they're at their best. Yet, for me, a disquieting amount of hacker culture that I have watched over the last 20 or 30 years wants that dark rebellion, that feeling of being outside, while also experiencing 401ks, consultancy fees, and generally being part of society. The idea, the mythos, really, that you can hack and break into systems and be a troublemaker until you're so good at it that the authorities, the people in charge, have no choice but to hire you for a good salary to do what you were doing for free, is legion, is endemic through a lot of what I see in hacking culture. And none of that more pronounced than at hacking conferences, places that have contracts and conditions with hotels and conference centers, such that people cosplay rebellion inside of a very safe and very warm bowl. It's for this reason that years ago I stopped paying to go across the country to various hacker conventions to act like we were all being weird little criminals in an unusual den of iniquity, when in fact it was just a bunch of people with regular jobs acting a little bit odd for a couple days. Nowadays, it's pretty hard to get me to go to a hacking convention unless it's within driving distance because, frankly, I much prefer being home in my own bed at this late stage of my life than being in a strange hotel hearing people screaming down the hallway and making a mess just because they ostensibly want to learn. But what I'm really getting at there is the duality of the message. The idea that you are somebody who doesn't have to follow the rules while quietly following them. I don't hold any ill will towards people who want to have families and support and a consistent paycheck in the pursuit of their skill set. Computer security is civilization's security. So much is online now, so much is electronic in form, that having the most skilled people who do the best architecture for protecting our information, our funds, our personal data, is a great and good task. It becomes much, much harder for me to equate that position with that of a rebel, flitting in and out of the boundaries of electronic perception for the purposes of good-natured mischief and maybe even what some would call crime. Please don't harbor resentment if this is your world. Some people might say that the golden age is not a particular year, but it's when you yourself are a certain age. And maybe in my teens and 20s, I didn't pay attention to these larger moving trends and conditions that represented in many ways a safe space that labeled itself as anything but. I always came home to a warm bed, to a meal, to friends and family who were there for me. Sometimes I was depressed. Often I would feel alienated. But the fact was, I would feel alienated within an occasionally threadbare, but often consistent, home. To that definition, then, the above ground represents portraying yourself one way and being something completely different. An underground spreads by word of mouth with much paranoia, coming and going, disappearing into the night, reappearing in another, and could be completely gone within moments, at the first sign of a threat. But the above ground wants to be seen, wants to demonstrate that it exists, because recruitment is vital. You don't just want your small set of conspiratorial friends and you doing mischief and strangeness and experimentation. You want an open invitation for new people all the time to pass through. For personal ambition, and some form, financial or otherwise, that's the result of greed. The other example of the above ground that I talk about, and it has many, many facets, is that of what we now call tech, the tech industry, the tech world, the tech community, which itself wants to burst past many of the protections and paradigms that were meant to provide a consistency to civilization. Companies that run afoul of laws, with the idea being that by the time government and society catches up, the cash out has already happened. It's a beautiful and interesting narrative. But in the aggregate, it has led to a lot of companies with a lot of people getting theirs and then getting out, leaving the world, ultimately, pretty poor. We can focus on features and technology that came into our lives and how much better they are. But one of the side effects of that is convincing ourselves that this was the only way it was going to happen. Only by doing things under this condition, in defiance of rules and protections, with the goal being to get this inevitable, wondrous, beautiful thing out into the world. That is a very specific myth, as strong as the I will hack myself into a job myth, the idea that once the world catches up, all of the shortcuts, all of the backroom deals, all of the not quite reporting what you were actually doing and the things you had problems with is justified by the ends. Again, consider it maybe the reflection of me, older, self-perceptively wiser, conditioned now to have seen the long-term effects of many, many different paths taken. And I just feel, as somebody who has focused so much of his life protecting these artifacts and representations of historic underground activities, that I feel that somehow the whole thing has been rebranded, given a new package, and made palatable in the face of what would otherwise be extremely questionable and extremely harmful choices. I don't have a solution for this condition. I certainly can't promise that there was really any other way this was going to happen. But maybe by recognizing this rebranding that I'm doing, this pronouncement that there's an entire approach that is putting on the cloak of disrespectability and underground, while being just another alternative choice, we can, as people, maybe recognize that there's choices there that not every way things happened is the way that things have to happen. And if we're lucky, that expanded horizon of possibility will, I hope, bring more good than bad into the world. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Symbionce, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I do want to make one other note, which is, while I may sound like I'm bemoaning the lack of underground in the above ground, I am in no way portraying the underground as something worth shooting for. I enjoyed my time being somebody outside of the law, being a shortcut-taking young person, taking unnecessary risks, and putting myself in true mortal, legal, and personal danger. But along with that true underground comes a lot, and I mean a lot, of bad actors who take advantage of the lack of accountability to do bad things, to declare themselves in the right when they are definitively in the wrong, and to ostracize, hurt, and demean people who want to be part of a good project or community, and find themselves, for unfair, unjust, and miserable reasons, to be used and cast aside. The underground is not necessarily how life wants to be. It holds a romantic position, and for people who came through it unscathed or feeling that they came ahead, they can again portray themselves as being advocates for living that kind of life. But I want to stress that in my opinion, if you can avoid a predominantly underground way of functioning through your life, you should throw aside any sense of that romance and wonder and branding and live a good, solid, happy, sharing life.